So what it requires is a headset you require, which is a kind of a front of this thing, which has been worn by the person who wants to go through the virtual experience. He is exposed to a 3D environment where various simulation-based raw data is already filled in about the product, about the experience. So at a speed when you go, how you feel, when you are not taking right turns, what a message has to come. So that simulator also reads your behavior and gives you the appropriate experiential thing. So as a result, input devices are various control, various probes that has been, say, like maybe attached to you, etc., various data that has been fed in. As a result, an experience is generated. This is very immersive experience because it is like almost close to reality, okay? And as a result, your sense of immersion goes very high. You feel you are really into it. So that's what, as a interactiveness, the better part of it is now it also offers you the interactiveness. During this virtual experience, you want to interact. You are given that option, which otherwise is not possible. So while you are this thing, you want to assess the tire heat. Say while you are going a test ride kind of an experience in virtual reality, you want to experience tire pressure, you want to experience the engine RPM or a heatness of this thing, you can call for that data. So that kind of thing happens. So in the digital marketing for product demonstration, that is what I have been telling, automotive companies are demonstrating their product using virtual reality, brand experience. They can create an immersive experience where use of brand, interaction with the brand is created in a way that as if brand is talking to the customer. And then that's the attitude building, behavioral shift, etc. is possible through that experience, brand experience. You create virtual events and virtual showroom where you with sitting in one place of your showroom, he gets a complete idea about your showroom, where is your service, where is your other accessory outlets, where you can even see the accessories and all. So interactive storytelling can use this for a interactive storytelling where customer can guide the direction of the story based on the selection that he makes. So there are various permutation combination of the story being fed in. So it depends on what you give and reference to. So if I had to just give you an idea, one of the travel portal where we went and we were asking about a particular city, they gave us the virtual experiences where it was interactive storytelling because we chose that how this is going to be at night. So we got a night experience, day experience. So likewise, so you see that that's the power of VR. Getting into few case studies here with you, I will try to just give you the gist of it, but it's a case study on Domino's using ordering bot, IKEA VR kitchen experience. So yeah, it's the chatbot of Domino's known as Dom, allows you to not only select your standard pizza or customize your pizza, etc., and order it, complete your transaction and get it within the 30 minutes. Impact is while customer is onto a platform without getting into the e-shopping site, etc., he gets a direct sales experience. He is involved into his purchase, which is what has been facilitated by the chatbot, or which is what facilitated by your some virtual reality experiences that you bring in. IKEA, here you have a kitchen, even there, this for the even your home, the kitchen is one specific six things where you look at the product from the ambience of the kitchen, how this fits into, say, your kitchen. You get that idea. Otherwise, it is an item there on display, but you create that. So this is an experience. You are able to open it. You are able to see it, the different colors. So how it will go. You know your home background is blue color. So you put that. So that way, kind of experience-based decision making is going to be possible. That's what IKEA VR kitchen experience this thing offers you. Now let's understand after VR augmented reality. It's an augmented experience where digital information is overlaid onto the real world, enhancing still your physical environment based experience. So here, if you use an augmentation, though you may be in a mall But you can have a tiger park, you can have a kangaroo coming in, etc. So here you augment the particular perspective so that customer will feel, oh, the waterfall has come onto them. So those kind of things are done, which is an overlay. It uses the existing environment, this is this thing, but you are creating one more layer where something is happening which will create a kind of a unusual experience for the recipient. So it's particularly useful in retail and advertising, offering interactive experience. Okay, customer feels part of engaging experience that you are delivering, though they are not into that environment, but they actually experience the environment. That's the power of augmented this thing. If I had to give you a technical idea, like we have done this in the showrooms, etc., where even in the showroom you get the different feel of road conditions, etc. But if I had to give you a simple this thing, in the if that is provided to the my sales consultant, when they point their camera towards the engine running, engine various dimensions, etc., come out. So customer gets that augmented experience. This is different from the virtual reality, where this kind of layering is not there, the environment is created. Here the moment engine is looked at, the entire engine, this thing comes alive, gives you the perspective of six cylinder, whatever, how it functions, etc. So that's what is the augmentation, which is also getting more in more and more into the practice by marketeers and salespeople. Here is the L'Oreal's makeup try-on experience. So here they try you virtual try-on, allows customers to try the virtual augmentation, how you look. Similar thing, if I had to give you an idea about Lenskart, they provide you every frame, how it will look on you. So there is an app you have to download, and then they give you a choice of checking each frame, how will it look. Okay, so that's what is a augmented reality base. Here customer will have something which maybe most cases is a smartphone, and a physical sample may not be required, through a scanner or through some QR code given, etc., through some cue that has been given, the augmentation will come alive. So how does it happen? The feature effectively bridges the gap between online shopping and in-store experiences. By L'Oreal, by giving this, allows a customer, prospective customer, who's there to buy either a foundation or buy a nail polish, etc. When they are in the showroom, something is possible still physical, which is not in otherwise possible online. But now, that hindrance they have removed by bringing in this augmented reality makeup try on app. So as a result, customer is able to see herself in that application, as if with that nail polish or with that kind of a facial that has been, or say cold cream that has been applied, something of that kind of thing happens with the person who's using this app. Voice search and smart speakers. So here nowadays even voice search is possible. You order it, and the instrument, smartphone, will search for you, or that app in which you are will search for you. So Amazon Echo, Google Home has transformed how business approaches SEO, where search engine optimization, now voice search optimization is also possible. So various voice-based queries can be understood, and it can help you with the search, including long tail keywords, etc. You see, my tonality, my pronunciation is different from the other guy, but still it is so optimized that it will make the same meaning and give you the same output. So importance is growing. Nowadays you are busy, you want to multitask while you are printing something, you want to still get something done. So now if voice search is not allowed, you will have to again come and spend time here typing. So that is now overcome, while on one particular task, you can work on a voice-based approach and you still can get things done while you are doing another one where both of your hands are blocked, So this is going to really immensely open the opportunity for digital marketeers, and they all are working towards enabling themselves. So Domino Pizza and the voice search, Domino's voice-enabled website for voice search, allowing customers to order pizza using voice command through a smart speaker, etc. Of course, it might have limitations of the ambient surrounding voice disturbing, etc. Like in the home today, I do channel search and various things using that. You all are also experiencing on various platforms on a smartphone while you are on an entertainment portal. It provides the customer with an additional functionality where customer is able to enjoy his moment at the same time get certain work done. So that's a power. Domino Pizza and voice search, here again Domino Pizza, as I told you, is giving you that possibility where they have integrated the technology in the back end. So as a result, now this voice search based pizza search and ordering and all is possible. Now when you do also that, you create a differentiator, you create a realignment with the evolving customer, and thereby you maintain your innovative quotient, you maintain your competitive differentiation. Video marketing dominance. So we are now going to look at how video based marketing. So short form videos are today becoming so wildly popular, and believe me, it has made other people more popular. It has not made celebrity popular. Tomorrow somebody sitting even in his common house creates something which is a short video and becomes overnight popular. So that's what is the power of where platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Reel, etc. is changing life, changing the set of influencers, etc. And therefore your digital marketing strategy also has to have this component integrated. Video is always highly engaging, very dynamic, and therefore very meaningful in a short way, shortest time they communicate more than something. So that is when absorbed by millions of people, the pattern, the behavioral influences happen. That has to be remembered. So therefore your variety, your overall content strategy, this has to come in. And you can, people are creating exciting this thing, either the demonstration of the product behind the scene kind of a story, or they get into storytelling, etc. They get into conversational interaction, etc. So all this is going to create a different tangent. More and more ideas based videos are going to come that will keep the customer, not only give the required information but keep him engaged with your brand. Example, Gymshark and video marketing. So how Gymshark is using this? So Gymshark encourages people to not only use their app and be fit, but they are encouraging the sharing. So you make your TikTok video, you make your short video, share it on there. This will reach out to the various followers of the Gymshark, and that gives you the power of reach. So this compels the audience to also not only use and become fit, but talk to the world that how did he benefit, or showcase to the world that how he has transformed from a normal hunk to a six-pack hunk, etc. So those are that, the moment of delight, because everyone is wanting to share, and this platform has given them that leverage. So it creates a high brand awareness, not only for this thing, but you reach out and create a customer interaction. So there are product like supplements and all, they are also using this very widely. So that's what the video marketing that Gymshark has demonstrated to the world. We come to what you call social commerce. Now this is also a growing trend. Most social site, Facebook, Instagram, are now offering you direct purchase from the feed. So many feeds which come, and if you have noticed ever, say sari, this thing, this model is like doing a sari or own something, and there's a dot that appears. So it means that if you click that, you get into the buying algorithm. So now you are diverted to another layer wherein you can choose the size, you can order it, complete your payment transaction. So this is what is called as social commerce. So now the post can have a feature of shoppable post. Of course, it is available to not everyone. People have to subscribe and kind of pay for it, as I understand. And then you in turn earn. So there are various such home entrepreneurs and backuppreneurs and they have come up and they are utilizing this. So they don't need powerful websites and all. So it's like economical, optimal way of reaching customer, making them influence to buy, and also help them to complete the purchase using the same social media platform. So that's the power now they are offering. And as a result, while you are live onto your interaction, you like something, it allows you to complete the transaction without leaving that platform. So as a result, that it provides a growth opportunity, and as a result, many brands are falling into the bandwagon. So you see more and more this to happen earlier. So Zara and the social commerce, Zara being the fashion brand, all their communication that they do are having a shoppable post. Or Manish Malhotra, the fashion designer, likewise, their post which comes have a shoppable post. Clicking it, you can get into the purchase algorithm. So that's what is the power of buying from directly from the feed which has been given to you. Absolute convenience. Okay, your choice is made. Your overall experience will be fantastic. You know, you liked it and you bought it. Kind of. So that's the power of social commerce. As a result, brands are also now adopting to create social media post, which is shoppable post, for which whatever that they need to do mechanically, whatever they need to do commercially in the back end, they get into doing it. Personalization and data privacy. Here, what is the trend? Demand for personalized marketing is rising. Therefore, those who own the data have power to use it for themselves, but offer that to even advertisers. So that's where, and therefore there are regulations which have come. Meta having your data, using it for Meta's own this thing within their means is fine, but Meta providing your data to the third party who's wanting to advertise on Meta platform, therefore that's a different thing which is probably not known to you. You have silently given, we all have silently given, we all have been the victim, because if I want to use a Facebook, there's a long list of terms and conditions comes, we invariably blindly give that. That means you have opted in. But nowadays, various countries' governments are also bringing stricter law for protecting the privacy, transparency, exchange of data for marketing. So all these things are coming. But yes, the data of the customer helps for the personalization. That's the power. So party has to be conscious about retaining the trust of the customer. Okay. And use data only in a way that customer interest is not adversely affected. So that's what is the things related to personalization and data privacy. So just an example about personalized marketing being used by Spotify, where they use listeners' music preference to create subsequent playlist generation experience for them, and thereby user gets connected with the kind of songs that they like. Spotify is transparent about its data collection practices and therefore balances personalization as well as with the privacy norms set by the governing bodies. In terms of engagement, the personalization strategy has helped Spotify to build a loyal base. Customers do not want to leave them and go elsewhere, and thereby generating satisfaction, regular use, etc. And they have complied with regulatory compliances, etc. So they have been so far been adhering to the set norms of data privacy. Influencer marketing, we have learnt a lot about influencer marketing, where there are different types of influencer like micro influencers, etc. That also we have learnt earlier, where brand partner with them to create wider reach among their followers, and there therefore we have understood that the content authenticity which goes viral, which the influencer puts for your brand, puts for your product, generates also user generated content. User generated content have more authority, authenticity, belief in that, and cost effective, because you are immediately able to tap the very large millions of followers of the influencer whom they are following due to the trust, due to the specialization, etc. So your cost effectiveness goes up. Cost of reach, cost of getting one conversion, etc. So this is the power of influencer marketing, where Glossier and micro influencers, they have done that. You know, Glossier has successfully partnered with micro influencers. Micro influencers, as you know, that they are probably have either specialization or geographical reach, and using that, what they have done is that also the content that they kind of generate by user interacting with the influencer, that has really built the brand trust and therefore longevity. Okay, and that longevity is driving their sale. Same thing for community building. They're working with the influencers. They've created a strong follower base, and they've built a customer base whom they engage regularly, and they've provided them a platform, kind of a community platform, where those like-minded people are interacting, expressing freely their view, and that is what is that user-generated content, and that when becomes relatable to the participants or that community, the brand becomes acceptable. So that's the power. Coming to content marketing evolution, where we have also seen how, what is content marketing and how it is changing, where content per se, the word describes many platforms like blogs, videos, etc. So value that it brings is contents, if it is driven for a specific target and communicates what the brand delivers in it, for what's there for the customer, recipient will feel that he is getting communicated what he is expecting to have, and there where the bonding will start. Right content, right platform for the content, etc., generally generates long-term association and therefore relationship and trust with the target audience, and as a result also reputation building. You remain that experienced brand, you communicate with that authority, so the brand belief in the brand will come out of the kind of a content that you have created, which empowers his followers, which empowers his target audience, etc., and therefore the reputation of the brand will go up. Example, Patagonia's content strategy, that's a brand which emphasizes on environmental conservation, and they have adopted that as a core value of the brand, and that they have used blogs and various social media stories. They have created the user generated content, how they have made the difference to the environment. This is a viral story, and therefore it reaches millions of customers on its own. Okay, so they have created this particular platform through which they are able to share content, they are able to gather user feeds and then popularize that user feed. So as a result, now their positioning got strengthened as a sustainable brand, and those who believe in dealing with the sustainable brands, ethical brands, come to them and look for the product of their choice. So that's the power of content strategy to build also the brand positioning. Mobile first approach, I have already discussed the trend today, because a lot of 70-80% of the online e-commerce site purchase happens through mobile. Developing your content to be mobile adaptable, that is mobile suitable, that is a trend today. So even that is done first, then the laptop and desktop oriented starts. So this mobile adapting, mobile first approach creates a seamless user experience, and that creates like seamlessness brings the inclusiveness. Inclusiveness brings the engagement, repeat visit, and therefore brand connect. Also, when you do your content mobile friendly or mobile first, mobile friendly, so to say, optimize for the mobile, SEO recognizes that. And when they're recognizing, the ranking improves a lot. This optimization also creates mobile. On mobile, the data getting loaded fast, easy to navigate, again, without buffering kind of an experience that they get, which takes the experience to a next level. Google being a powerhouse in that area, and they've created mobile first indexing. So as a result, their crawler looks for the site, looks for the digital property, which is mobile optimized, and gives it the priority. Airbnb focuses on mobile friendly design, ensuring a seamless experience in the smartphone experiences, which is like out of the world kind of, as I was saying, people are getting deep into it, and that has given them the edge over other competitors. Okay. And as a result, the responsive, this thing, the design that they do is a responsive in a way that it adopts to different types of screen. It makes engagement very powerful. There is no difficulty in finding what is to be done, where it is to be clicked, etc. As a result, user is not into a difficult state. User is more into a friendly environment. Okay. हाँ बोल।
ओपन जेंसर।
ओके। अभी जो रिपोर्ट आया वो?
अभी जो रिपोर्ट आया बताओ जैसा ना वो स्टिच करा हुआ वाला स्टिचिंग पर ड्रेसिंग करा हुआ। डॉक्टर ने कह दिया अगर पेट स्कैन करा हुआ पड़ता ताकि खबर होती पड़ती कि क्या है कहाँ से लाया ड्रेसिंग क्या है एरिया मार्कर।
ऐसी પપ્પા ને ભી કીધું હશે કે
નથી કીધું આઈ થિંક બાપા મમ્મી એ તો નથી ખબર એટલે અમારે કાલ જવું પડશે ઘરે મમ્મી ને
તું બી શાંત રહેજે હવે જોઈએ આગળનું કઈ રીતે નિલેશના ટચમાં રહેજે ને હવે પછી હા 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 દીપુ ભગવાનમાં ઓલી છે ને તમારે એ લોકોની વધારે છે એટલે હા
હા હા હા
બચીને ખબર છે કે ઓકે ઓકે ભલે ભલે હા ભલે ચાલ હા હા વાંધો નહીં આવે હા ભલે ચીજ રાઈટ રાઈટ હા ઓકે ઓકે વી વિલ નાઉ અન્ડરસ્ટેન્ડ ડેટા એનાલિટિક્સ એન્ડ એટ્રીબ્યુશન મોડેલિંગ. Trend today is towards advanced analytics being applied already, okay, and attribution models are key for understanding customer journeys. So this analysis, in other words, enables you to know how customer moves from one point of his journey to the other point, that is from the point of view of problem realization, information search, comparison, decision, actual purchase, post purchase. This is a journey map. Here, journey map is like, if you look at my lifestyle, how I as a, say like a verge of retirement kind of a person, so morning health activities, then the travel, this thing, methodologies, then the way of working in office, etc. How do I spend my weekends? So all these are the touch points of my journey. How closely the brand understands it helps them to optimize their campaign. They exactly know when to touch, how to touch, etc. Okay, and thereby, not only they are able to create right content, they are able to release it on the right platform and therefore create better engagement. And relatively, if repeated engagements are successful, leads to the conversions. Okay, The insight about this is data-driven decision improves your resource allocation, maximization, optimization. Therefore, cost is also optimized, and that optimization of cost leads to better return on investment. Customization tailors marketing effort to reflect the effectiveness of a different channel. So marketing efforts, when done effectively, it is reflected in the effectiveness of your money spent, effectiveness of your engagement with the customer. So that's the power one has to experience. Okay. Example here, of course, the Coca-Cola's data analytics, how Coca-Cola implements it. So they implement to generally when they come out with a large campaign, and this may not be only in India, etc. It may be happening in multi part of the world. So how, what they do, so they have applied the data analytics to that, adjust their marketing spend on the data insights that they acquire, and effectiveness of a strategy, whether that is working, not working, which part of the world it is working, which part of the world is not working, where not working, what adoption is required, what change is required, which channel is working, which channel is cohesively participating. This page, I am doing it again. Example of Coca-Cola's data analytics. How Coca-Cola uses the power of data analytics when they launch a campaign. And believe me, their campaigns are not India-centric. Many times it's worldwide. Okay. Now, when they do that, how do they do it? So, when they apply this, they come to know across the various parts of the world whether that particular thing is working, not working, which channel is working, not working, which channel is working in which country but not working in other country, all those aspects. Now, little I have told you, you would have understood. Now, based on this, they can really get into correctiveness, optimization, etc. They balance the fund diversions, etc. in such a way where it is working, or something that they need to correct, they get into immediate correction of it. Broadly, by doing it, what is happening is, they not only keep the campaign alive, they create the engagement. And when you create an engagement which is alive, customer is definitely feels inclusive and engaged and gets into final call to action as desired by you. So this analytics is done to essentially know the behavioral impact. So how has customer received it? How is customer is looking at it? Has he adopted to the expected behavior, etc.? This is what their data analytics works for them. So with few such example-based approach, the, what is the in future of digital marketing beyond 2024? So more deeper integration is going to be with the AI, chatbot, augmented reality, virtual reality. We have learned different types of AI. Remember, we are currently at a primary stage. So machine learning and those other type still has to come upfront and help consumer and the marketer to connect. So that's where the work is on 5G and Internet of Things, which is also driving the way data gets created for monitoring purpose. 5G allows very faster transmission. Earlier, video-based communication. Why Instagram was not popular? Because video streaming, once you click it, used to take minutes. So buffering is very irritating. What is Internet of Things? Moving truck, like if the, it is Internet of Things enabled, you will know so many parameters, the speed at which the driver is driving, the petrol consumption, whether he has taken any unauthorized stop, whether he has taken any unauthorized route, all those things, the consumption of petrol and blah, blah. So that is what is the power of Internet of Things. As a result, this data is not only generated due to the technology being made available, and then when analyzed, it helps you to do, say, corrective supply chain route. So that way, this is a power the future is holding. Immersive experience, customer without really getting into the car can experience the car. So that's the power customer, without getting into the product, can feel the product. So this is what, and this can be real time. All this is happening is real time for customer on the front end, back end, the real time data is getting captured. That data capturing, if it is enabled with auto answering, auto response, or analyzed response, also gives a immediate response to the customer. Or so this is like an entire ecosystem comes alive and remains agile. So that's the power. 5G enabled interactive billboards, high definition content. When 5G is there, you see there's a pixel per inch, pixel per square feet, that creates the content becomes very, very high definition. High definition content makes you feel like a real model, real product in front of you. So that's what is one thing. Real time, this thing, it is a tailor-made, delivered at the real time, at the right location, at the right prompt when initiated by the customer, so that he gets that feeling that, oh, I was looking for it and this came for me. So like engagement is therefore going to be more interactive, more lively, more engaging, more explorative. And the moment the customer gets into more explorative mode, he's certainly going to get into deepness of your interactive platform that you have provided. So therefore the interaction quality will improve, and therefore the engagement and conversion rate will improve. The role of AI in future marketing, so to say, it helps you with the personalization. I have told you what is personalization, learning the behavior, past behavior, the data related to that. You orient your communication, you design the offer related to that niche segment of the market and get a better engagement. Automation, a lot of automation of your routine task can be done. Systematic tasks can be done, which will improve your efficiency. Customer will feel that you are responsive. Predictive, it gives you what is likely to happen. Change expected. As a result, you can moderate yourself. You can resource yourself. You can create your tactics accordingly. Support, a lot of support for the routine task can be given. As a result, even interactive task is handled by chatbot and such other support that is possible through AI. Email marketing can also be handled. Auto response through email, again through AI. So customer feels supported. That is what is the role AI is going to play in the future. So overall importance to adopt to AI in the digital age. If you are not done, why should you do rather? What is important is the agility. The AI will bring the agility, will give you the real-time update, and therefore you are able to not only know predictively what is happening and keep aligning yourself. It will encourage you to innovate. So much is happening, so many new things are happening. If you get a grasp of it better, you can create a competitive differentiation. You remain customer focused by automating, simply doing that, or providing a kind of an experiential engagement with your brand. You remain customer focused. Growth is going to be naturally for you, because you are not only agile, you understand the data, you understand the changing behavior, and therefore you are adapting to the customer need, and therefore you are able to develop things right for you and remain competitive. So with this, actually, we complete this chapter. Thank you.